Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's gospel reading gives us Jesus' viewpoint on the subject of self-importance. This problem of self-importance, especially of thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought, is really as old as the human race itself, going all the way back to almost the very beginning. Everybody wants to feel important. That's, after all, what got our first ancestors off on the wrong track all the way back in the Garden of Eden, not long after God had completed his perfect creation. Adam and Eve wanted to be like God. They listened and they longed for that lie that the devil had told them. And still to this day, thousands of years later, a good share of all of our problems, our problems in the world, within our church, within our homes, and even within ourselves, is that same urge to be VIPs, to be very important people. So what can we do about that? To begin with, we need to know what's wrong with that desire to be important, to feel important, and to have others recognize us as very important people. If you're familiar with the tradition of the list of deadly sins, you may remember that pride is very often mentioned first in that list of deadly sins. However, it's important for us to distinguish between sinful pride on the one hand and pride that is simply honest self-confidence based on an honest recognition of God's blessings to us. After all, if you look at what the Bible says about humankind, it is pretty spectacular. It says that we were made in the image of God and God's own likeness. Psalm 8 says that humankind is only a little lower than the angels, those mighty messengers of God, and that God has crowned us with glory and honor. Jesus, who himself is the true, eternal, almighty, all-powerful, all-glorious God, calls us his brothers and sisters. He calls us his friends. He calls us his very own, the sheep of his pasture. We are called children of God in the Gospel of John chapter 1. Where could you find a better qualification for a very important person than in those descriptions of us, God's special creation? In fact, there are several instances in the Bible of where God was very angry with someone who was not proud of or confident in the way that God had made them and blessed them. We can think of Moses, when God called Moses to go to Pharaoh, the powerful king of Egypt, and to stand before Pharaoh and announce to him that God is calling him to let the Israelites go. Moses again and again expressed his lack of confidence that he was up to that task. And God eventually spoke out in anger at Moses' repeated refusal to trust in God, to trust in the blessings that God had given to Moses and God's promise to be with Moses. Think also of the parable that Jesus told of the talents, those measures of money that the master of the house had entrusted to his servants to make good use of while he was away. And the one who had only received one talent did not put that talent to good use because he was afraid that if there was some loss that he encountered as he put that talent to use, that his master would be angry with him and would punish him. However, the master was most angry that that servant didn't even try to put that talent to use at all. And so we see that such a lack of pride or a lack of self-confidence apparently is an insult to the God who made us and to the God who blessed us in so many ways. And so we see here that what Jesus is really warning against is sinful pride or false pride, Pride that tries to portray oneself as better than others, that selfishly strives for glory so as to be praised by others or to gain some advantage for oneself. That's what happened when our first ancestors, Adam and Eve, listened to that lie and temptation of the devil and sinned against God, breaking the command that God had given to them. And that is what sin is all about still today. It's not living up to the potential that God gave us. We lose our pride or self-respect. And then it's pitiful the way that we use bluffing or boasting as cheap imitations of the real quality of life that God intended for us all the way back at the beginning in His perfect creation. Those of you who are parents, maybe you have heard your child making a comment about how they think that they are the smartest or the fastest or the strongest in their class or among their group of friends. It can be pretty amusing for a little child to have thoughts like that. But it's sad when an adult believes in such a childish way. As Jesus says in the reading, that's a kind of selecting the places of honor for yourself at a banquet. Expecting compliments or favors, getting offended at not being thanked, getting hurt when someone forgets a birthday or an anniversary, feeling crushed at not being chosen for a certain position or role, feeling brokenhearted at not making the team, being angry at not being remembered by name, feeling insulted at not being noticed. Such childishness. Such a horrible imitation of the real pride that God gave human beings at the beginning in His perfect creation. And the same goes for the ego. By wanting to associate with all the right people. That's what Jesus describes in our reading as inviting friends, brothers, relatives, or rich neighbors to the banquet that we put on. Think about the realm of politics and really so many areas of life outside the church and even sometimes inside the church that is full of this kind of thing. Grasping for recognition that comes from false pride, helping only those who can help us in return, scratching the backs of those who can scratch back and return the favor. That's what famous Christian writer C.S. Lewis calls the desire to be part of the inner ring, the inner circle of the important people. And that's what makes even church people, even Christians, sometimes gather in their own little cliques and ignore those who don't belong or who are on the outside. That's what drives young people very often and sometimes older people as well to risk almost anything just to be part of the in-group, part of the special crowd. False pride makes it more important than life itself sometimes, it feels to us, to be invited by the right people and to be accepted in the best circles. And perhaps in those circumstances, you might be a VIP, but it's just a hollow imitation of the real thing. Jesus warns us that that kind of pride just cannot last. In verse 11, he says, "Everyone who exalts himself in that kind of way will be humbled." Only the person with the right kind of pride or self-confidence can do what Jesus suggests in our gospel reading. In verses 8 and 10, he says, "When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not recline in the place of honor, but when you are invited, go and recline in the lowest place." That takes real self-confidence. And not that we should make a boast or a show of our humility. Oh, look what I'm doing, taking the lowest place. Maybe you've heard a saying like this. I looked it up and found that it was perhaps originally from writer Helen Nielsen, who described humility, saying humility is like underwear, essential but indecent if it shows. Real pride and true self-confidence, or perhaps better we could call it God-confidence, confidence in God and His blessings to us, that true pride and confidence just doesn't care one way or another whether you are recognized or honored by others. When you are a real VIP, recognizing your very important status to your Heavenly Father and to your Savior Jesus, recognizing your true worth to God, then it just doesn't matter whether other people think highly of you or not, as long as you know God's opinion of you. Now, of course, it does take a bit of self-examination, a bit of practice to be able to reach that point in life and in one's spiritual life. To have an honest evaluation of ourselves, we need to realize our true condition. We all are sinful, falling far short of the glory of God, as the Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 3. Since we've lost those God-like qualities with which God originally created Adam and Eve, just papering over the old wretched self, our sinful nature, with false pride won't do the job. It won't make the final cut. There's only one way to truly get rid of the dirt and the stain and the stench of sin. That's what the Bible has in mind when it says, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, in 1 John chapter 1. Jesus came into the world to clean up our lives and to make them the way that they were back when God first created the world in perfection and first created people in His own image, in holiness and righteousness. That's the meaning of the sentence that the Apostle Paul speaks, that he spoke to the jailer at Philippi who was afraid for his life and his very soul. And Paul told him, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, no matter what else happens to you in this life. When the human soul is cleansed of its guilt and its shame and its sense of worthlessness, then there can be real pride again in what God has done with us and what God can do still with us. As the Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. We can start over as people made in God's image, crowned with glory and honor, and set apart as the VIPs of the universe. Nothing can give us that inner sense of personal worth except the presence of Jesus, our Savior. And nothing can give us Jesus except the Holy Spirit working through the Word of God and the sacraments. We must use these means of grace, God's Word, remembering our baptism, frequently receiving Jesus' body and blood in the Lord's Supper, if we are ever to join the ranks of those real VIPs. The more we learn to know Jesus, the more we learn and really cherish His love for us, the more we can be proud of what He has done with us and what He is doing with us and through us. When you and I, by God's grace, through His Word and sacraments, feel really important deep down inside, recognizing God's love for us as His sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father, dearly loved, whom Jesus redeemed by His own life's blood, then we couldn't care less if we get any recognition in this life. Then we can gladly and willingly associate with, as Jesus mentions in our reading, verse 13, with the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, without worrying that we might not seem to be associating with the right crowd, with a respectable crowd. And best of all, we can give our lives to the Lord in eager service because we are sure of His promise that He speaks in verse 14 of our reading, you will be repaid in the resurrection of the righteous. We're not looking for a reward in this life. We know our true reward is in heaven, an eternal life with God. And so we can have true pride and self-confidence in knowing our true identity as children of God and recognizing our place in the mission of spreading the gospel that Jesus has called us to be a part of. That is the way to be a real VIP in God's kingdom. Amen.